Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to be discussing on this week's program the upcoming midterm elections. This program is being done 2 days before the election on Tuesday, November 6th, 2018. And so we're going to be discussing our predictions for the elections, as well as the important races that we should be paying attention to. Let's start off with speaking about our predictions. We have three main predictions. Let's see if they come true. First of all, let's remember that there are two houses of Congress. You have the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate. That's the way the system of government works in Washington. We have two houses of Congress. And the Republicans currently have a majority in both houses of Congress. Donald Trump was elected president with a Republican majority in both houses of Congress. And the question is, will the Republicans be able to retain their majority control in the House and in the Senate, in these two houses of Congress? Here's our prediction. We predict that the Democrats will take majority control of the House. In other words, the U.S. House of Representatives, we predict, as a result of the election on Tuesday, will have a Democrat majority. The Democrats will take control. Now, I know that goes against the predictions of Vice President Pence and Newt Gingrich and certain personalities on Fox News, and there's certain people who have predicted the Republicans will retain control of the House. And the pollsters are all over the place on this. There are some pollsters who predict Republicans will retain control. Others say the Democrats, and many say that it's too close to call. And it does seem very close. It seems like it's a very close contest. But we predict the Democrats will succeed in winning a majority of seats in the U.S. House of Representatives in this Tuesday's election. The second prediction we have involves the United States Senate. The Republicans currently have a 51-49 vote majority in the Senate, so it's a very thin majority. We predict that the Republicans will win in the Senate, that the Republicans will retain control of the United States Senate. And our third prediction is that the Republicans will actually gain seats in the United States Senate. They now have a 51-49 vote majority. We predict that that majority will increase maybe by one or two or three seats. We predict there'll be an increase in the Republican majority in the Senate. So we have three predictions. Let's see if they come true. Number one, we predict the Democrats will take the House. They'll get a majority of the House. Number two, we predict the Republicans will hold on to the Senate. They will continue to have a majority in the Senate. And number three, we predict that the Republicans will actually make gains in the United States Senate, that they will gain anywhere from one to three seats, maybe even four seats. We predict there'll be Republican gains in the U.S. Senate. So the Republican majority in the Senate, which is currently 51-49, will be a larger majority. Those are our three predictions. We'll see what happens when all the votes are counted, and we'll see if our predictions come true. Now, these are the key races that we're concerned about. First of all, in Texas, the race for the U.S. Senate between the great Senator Ted Cruz, who is the Republican nominee, against the radical left anti-Semite Beto O'Rourke. Yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. Beto O'Rourke, the anti-Semite, who was one of only eight members of Congress who voted against bills that were designed to support Israel. There were bills that weren't even controversial, that Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, everybody, even anti-Semites, even anti-Semites in the Congressional Black Caucus voted for these bills. That's how non-controversial they were regarding Israel defending herself against missile attacks, for instance, from the Hamas terrorists and so on. And out of 435 members of the U.S. House of Representatives, you have 435 members in the House, only eight voted against Israel when it came, for instance, to Israel's Iron Dome plan and her defense against the Hamas terrorists. One of the eight was Beto O'Rourke. That's how anti-Israel and anti-Semitic he is. And by the way, when he's had debates with Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz has mentioned over and over again that he's anti-Israel and how viciously he's against Israel. And Beto O'Rourke immediately responds to all of Cruz's criticisms and says, that's not true, this is not true. But when it comes to Israel, he never responds. He accepts that. He doesn't say, no, that's not true, I'm not anti-Israel. No matter how many times Cruz accuses him of being anti-Israel, that he accepts. He is such an anti-Semite. Such a radical left, Jew-hating piece of garbage. And so it's no surprise that he is the favorite candidate of the Jewish anti-Semites in J Street. J Street is an organization of Jewish anti-Semites, of assimilated, self-hating, intermarried, low-life Jewish anti-Semites who want to destroy Israel, who are literally trying to destroy Israel. And J Street has raised large amounts of money for Beto O'Rourke, and he's their favorite candidate. And they really hate Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz is the most pro-Israel member of either House of Congress. And he's sincerely pro-Israel. He's an evangelical Christian. He believes in the Bible. And he sincerely supports Israel. For instance, now Donald Trump is failing to impose the sanctions he promised he was going to impose. Donald Trump lied and said he was going to impose tough sanctions on Iran. He's not. He's giving exemptions to states so they can continue to buy Iranian oil. And he's complete watering down the sanctions and wimping out, as always. And so Ted Cruz is the one leading the campaign in the U.S. Senate. He's already gotten 16 Republican senators together to put pressure on the Trump administration to impose the tough sanctions and to try through legislation to force the White House to impose tough sanctions on Muslim terrorist Iran, a nation that is building nuclear bombs with the intention of using them to perpetrate a Holocaust against the Jews of Israel, God forbid. Ted Cruz is the number one friend we have and the most sincere defender we have. What a shame that he didn't become president. But anyway, his opponent, Beto O'Rourke, not only is an anti-Semite and anti-Israel, here's some of the other things he stands for. He is so extreme, and he's an example of how the Democrat Party has moved to the super extreme left. Beto O'Rourke wants to abolish ICE. Abolish ICE. ICE are the agents that enforce the borders and that enforce immigration laws. He thinks there should be no ICE. We should have no immigration laws, no controls on the borders. In fact, Beto O'Rourke has spoken about the need to tear down what we already have on the border, the fences we already have on the borders. He wants to tear them down. He wants completely open borders. Unbelievable how extreme he is. Beto O'Rourke is a socialist who wants complete and absolute government control over every aspect of health care. You know what that would cost? It would cost trillions of dollars. It would absolutely bankrupt the United States government. Within a year or two, the United States government would be bankrupt if that happened. And you would lose your doctor and lose your hospitals and lose your health care plans, and everything would be, there would be chaos in this country. But that's the socialist government takeover that Beto O'Rourke envisions and advocates. And you know, we already know what those types of programs will lead to. We saw in the Soviet Union and other countries where you have socialist so-called health care. And even in the so-called westernized countries in Europe where there's socialist health care, the health care systems are horrific. You have waiting lines sometimes for 6 months or a year for essential surgery. People die waiting for surgery. It's unbelievable how bad it is. And Beto O'Rourke is not only the favorite candidate of J Street, he's the favorite candidate of all the self-hating Jews. George Soros, of course, supports him. Bernie Sanders came to Texas to campaign for him. All the most vicious self-hating Jews, Chuck Schumer likes him, of course. All the most vicious self-hating Jews back Beto O'Rourke. They can't wait to get him in the Senate so that he could start working against Israel and the way he has in with his House seat in the U.S. Congress. And of course, in the Senate, he has more power. He's only one out of 100 senators, so he have more power to work against Israel. And they can't wait to take out Ted Cruz, God forbid, because they know Ted Cruz is the one sincere, real pro-Israel senator that we have. So Texas is very important that Ted Cruz be reelected. In the race for governor of Florida, we have Congressman or former Congressman Ron DeSantis is the Republican candidate, and he's running a standard Republican campaign, and he over and over again appeals to the Jewish community and supports Israel and has spoken of his support for Israel. He's no Ted Cruz, but he does claim to be a strong supporter of Israel, speaks about Israel all the time, takes stands in support of Israel, and seems to, and he wants a good relationship with the Jewish community in Florida and in Israel, so he's someone that's worthy of support. His opponent, Andrew Gillum, is a black Farrakhan-supporting anti-Semite. Okay, the worst type of anti-Semite. His opponent supports the BDS, the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement against Israel. In other words, they want to destroy Israel. His opponent has worked with people who have called for the destruction of Israel, Andrew Gillum. And again, his opponent is surrounded by Farrakhan supporters, by the worst anti-Semites, by people who go to Farrakhan's rallies. Those are his supporters. Those are the people working in his campaign. His candidate for lieutenant governor is a white guy. Andrew Gillum, again, is a black anti-Semite. His candidate for lieutenant governor is a white anti-Semite who, when he was rejected, or when articles that he was writing for a college newspaper were rejected, he blamed the Jews for it. I mean, he spoke about Jews, how the Jews were stopping him, and how the Jews... Not only that, he spoke about affirmative action as if it's something that benefits the Jews. I mean, no group suffers more from affirmative action than the Jews. The Jews were less than 1% of American youth in the 50s and 60s, and they were 70 or 80% of the students at Ivy League colleges like Harvard and Yale and Princeton. 70, 80% of the student body were Jews, and they were less than 1% of the population. I mean, just, it's incredible. I mean, Jewish talent is incredible that God has given the Jewish people. What a shame they misuse it in our generation. But affirmative action clearly is directed primarily against Jews, especially in Ivy League colleges. But Andrew Gillum's candidate for lieutenant governor claimed that affirmative action is designed to benefit the Jews and attack the Jews, and it's openly spoke about how Jews are stopping him. This guy sounds like it comes right out of Mein Kampf, his running mate. And of course, Andrew Gillum also wants to abolish ICE, and also, in other words, all border controls, and also wants to destroy the healthcare system, and wants drastic increases in taxes. And I can go on and on in listing all the things he stands for. Absolute insanity. The Bernie Sanders radical left agenda mixed with black anti-Semitism and Farrakhan supporting black anti-Semitism mixed all in. What a toxic brew that is for the state of Florida. And he, according to the polls, is leading in the race for governor of Florida. Let's hope that Ron DeSantis can beat him in that race. It's very close, though. He's leading by a small margin in the polls. Let's hope that those polls are off and that Ron DeSantis, the Republican candidate for governor, can beat him. And I'm going to give you one more race before we get into the self-hating Jews. And this is an exception. You notice, JTF, when we do endorse a candidate, 99% of the time it's going to be the Republican against the Democrat. We almost always support the Republican against the Democrat, but there, once in a while there are rare exceptions, and in New Jersey we have an exception. Bob Menendez, the Democrat, deserves our support because his opponent, the Republican, Bob Huggin, is such a leftist and so horrible that he should never be elected to the U.S. Senate, certainly not as a Republican. And Bob Menendez, by the way, he's a Democrat. Of course, you know, we hate the Democrats. But Bob Menendez, on the issue of Iran, was one of the leading forces to fight for sanctions on Iran and has been one of the leading Democrats which, again, in the Democrat Party, it's unusual now to have someone who claims to be pro-Israel. But Bob Menendez has always joined with people like Ted Cruz in trying to support Israel and pro-Israel resolutions. So he's been good for us. And his opponent, Bob Huggin, the Republican, is running saying, saying, New Jersey voters, don't hold it against me, because New Jersey is a left-wing state. So he's saying, don't vote it against me. He's saying, I support gay marriage. He says on his campaign commercials that he supports gay marriage, that he supports abortion on demand. He supports partial birth abortion. He supports all of these. He supports the whole left-wing agenda right down the line. Right down the line. And he's calling himself a Republican. I mean, just the worst nightmare. Why would any Republican want to have somebody like that representing the Republican Party in the Senate? You're better off having a Democrat than a Republican backstabbing traitor like that. So we support Bob Menendez for the U.S. Senate in New Jersey. Now, there are dozens of self-hating Jews, as we've mentioned in prior programs, dozens of self-hating Jews running for all types of offices. We've given you examples. You have Jackie Rosen, who's the extreme left-wing Democrat running for the U.S. Senate in Nevada. This is a woman who was the head of the so-called Conserve Temple in Nevada. She was the head of a so-called temple, president of a so-called temple of assimilationists and the worst of the worst. And she, among other things, I mean, aside from the fact that, of course, she's pro-gay marriage and pro-abortion and pro-open borders and every left-wing stand, higher taxes, all the left-wing stands on American domestic issues and foreign policy issues, of course. But then you add to that she's a self-hating Jew who would be working against Israel, which is always very dangerous, because when you have a Jewish senator and Jewish members of Congress working against Israel, that hurts Israel much more. Much more. Because they could always say, I'm Jewish, would I want to do anything bad to Israel? But Israel has to give in, and Israel has... That's the worst. That's the most dangerous. Those are the most dangerous enemies of Israel. And she's an example of that. She criticized Trump for moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Now, I didn't think that was something that was beneficial, particularly to Israel, but she's criticizing him for the wrong reason. She's saying because it's unilateral, and she thinks it's too pro-Israel. She thinks it was too pro-Israel. I mean, what a piece of garbage this woman is. Garbage. What type of Jew would work against their own people to destroy their own people? Her opponent is Senator Dean Heller, Republican candidate, and of course that's who we should support. That's who we should support. Whenever there's a race between a self-hating Jew, and even if the Gentile opponent is bad, you should still support the Gentile. If it was a Gentile anti-Semite against a self-hating Jew, I would support the Gentile anti-Semite. That's how much I think the self-hating Jews do damage. It is a terrible disgrace when we have them. I'll give you another example. Jared Polis. He's a congressman from Colorado, self-hating Jew, and he's now the front runner for governor of Colorado. He's running for governor, and we did a program on him as well. And he's married to another man, another self-hating Jew. And he's in his 30s, and he's married to someone who looks, I don't know, who looks like a kid. Just the whole thing is so, it's just, you know, it's such a chilul Hashem, such a desecration of God's name. And of course, he's on the far left on every issue, on Israel, on Iran, on all the issues, he's on the far left. And what he'll do to Colorado will be a horrible, horrible disaster. And then the Jews will be blamed, of course, for whatever happens. The Jews will get the blame for it. Just terrible. His opponent is Walter Stapleton, who's run-of-the-mill Republican candidate. It looks like Jared Polis is leading in the polls, and looks like he's going to probably win, God forbid. But if you're in Colorado, and I know that we did have a couple of people who were in our movement that were from Colorado, please make sure to get out and vote for Walter Stapleton, the Republican candidate for governor of Colorado, against Jared Polis. And that's true, again, in all of these races we have self-hating Jews. When the Jews that run for office outside of Israel, they're not supposed to run for office outside of Israel, and in almost every 99.999% of the cases, they are the worst enemies of Israel. They're disastrous. We actually have some nightmare situations where you have both the Democrat and the Republican are Jewish. I mean, you've got that nightmare in a number of congressional races. But if you see a situation where you can vote against the self-hating Jew, if you love Israel and the Jewish people, if you care about Israel and the Jewish people, the best thing you can do is vote against the self-hating Jew, because they do the most harm to Israel and to the Jewish people. Last week I told you we had over 142,000 views, Baruch Hashem, in our advertising campaign. This week it's over 163,000 views. We got 21,000 views, Baruch Hashem, this week in our advertising campaign for our videos, our Hebrew videos, that reach the Jews of Israel. Over 163,000 views. Now again, I don't know how much, even if a lot of people agree with what we say in the videos, and many of them, when they respond, are saying that they agree, I don't know how much just seeing one 60 second or 90 second video is going to change people. I don't know how much good it does. We're trying our best. It's like if you see a political commercial on TV for 60 seconds, is that going to change your life? You know, so I don't know how much good it does. It would really be effective if we could do it on a massive level, reaching millions and repeatedly reaching people with them, not just one time they see it, but repeatedly. That would be much better, of course, and that would give us a chance to really change things. Here we're just basically throwing something at people and hoping that it'll get them to think. That's the best we can do. That's the best we can do with the budget we have. But 163,000 Jews in Israel have now seen our videos just from the latest advertising campaign, and that is something in a nation of 6 million Jews. We're trying our best, and we have an obligation to try our best. It's the one thing that's going on there now that's telling the truth to the people of Israel. It's the one place where truth is being told to the people of Israel, and that gives us at least some hope that maybe some people are going to be changed. Of course, in the videos, we're, aside from promoting certain issues, aside from promoting our political positions on the issues, including encouraging the Arabs to leave with compensation, and the whole list of issues that you know where we stand, the whole land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, and so on. Aside from promoting that, the videos, and there are 8 of them running now. We have 8 different ones running now that are on the advertising campaign. But aside from promoting that, we also, in each video, remind people to vote for that Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. We tell them Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party is the only party telling the truth on the issue, that whatever issue we're bringing up in the video. Will that get people to vote for Moshe Feiglin? That's like saying how many people will vote for a candidate if they see one commercial. If you see one commercial from a political candidate, just one commercial, is that going to get you to vote for him when you're going to see dozens and hundreds from other candidates? I don't know. We're fighting an uphill battle. It's a rough battle. But we're trying. At least we're reaching people. At least we're trying. And I admit it's an uphill battle, and I admit we're fighting against the odds. But thank God, Baruch Hashem, Hashem at least has given us the ability to at least reach some people with something, with somewhat of a message, where we do tell a truth that no one else tells. And that is very important. That really is important. And we need to step up that campaign, especially when the elections come. And the elections are going to be coming, I don't know if they're going to be in 3 months or 6 months or a year, but it definitely won't be more than a year from now. The elections are coming pretty fast in Israel. It depends when the government decides to call new elections. But they're definitely going to be, you know, less than a year from now. And it could be just in a few months from now. So, you know, we want to do as much as we can to step up our campaign and to try our best. For Moshe Feiglin to get in the Knesset, he needs 3.25% of the vote. That's the minimum threshold. It's 4 seats out of 120 seats, and that comes to at least 150,000 votes. At least 150,000 votes he needs, maybe more. It depends on turnout. It's 3.25%, 3.25% of the total turnout. That's what he has to get in order to pass the minimum threshold and get into the Knesset, get into the Israeli parliament. So that comes to at least 150,000 votes, maybe as many as 170 or 180,000 votes. We've reached 163,000 Jews already, but, you know, I don't know how many out of the 163,000 Jews that we've reached are going to remember, because of one commercial they saw, to vote for Moshe Feiglin and the Zahut party, when they're going to be seeing hundreds of commercials from the Likud and from all the other parties. I don't know. So of course we're fighting an uphill battle, but at least somewhere the truth is being told. At least someone is giving facts and information that to Jews that they won't get anywhere else. Maybe, God willing, this will start to move people in the right direction. Let's hope so. I do see a lot of reaction to the videos. I see hundreds of people responding and replying to the videos. So let's hope that it leads to something positive and that we can help Moshe Feiglin get into the Knesset. I don't know if he's going to get in this time. He's got a tough fight. It's not easy for a brand new party that doesn't have millions of dollars and doesn't have all of the benefits that the established parties have, for him to get 3.25% of the total vote. That's a very tough challenge. That's very, very hard to do. But he is running a professional campaign, and he's a very good speaker. And the people who are working in his party in Israel are enthusiastic people. They work for him enthusiastically, and we're working for him enthusiastically. So we're going to try. We're going to try our best to convince people that that's the way Israel should be going. So we'll see on Tuesday what happens in the election. And then after the election on Tuesday, of course, will come the presidential campaign, will start right away. We're going to have 2 years of the presidential campaign after that. And I don't know where JTF is going to go on that. I have no idea. You know, we're going to be opposing the far left Democrats. And you know that we're not fond of Donald Trump. We don't think he's not a conservative, and he's taken a lot of positions that are very troubling. So I don't know where we're going to go. And certainly with all the self-hating Jews that are planning to run for president, that would be the ultimate nightmare. So we're going to be paying attention to what happens in the race for president. And we're going to be stepping up our campaign on behalf of Moshe Feiglin and the Zahut Party, and to wake the Jews of Israel up. At least with us, you're directly reaching Jews with a message that they won't get a message of real truth that they won't get anywhere else. And that is something to be proud of, and it's something to want to participate in. Because if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.